So you have been diagnosed with cancer. If the news is recent, your mind is probably still reeling from it. My patients often say that once they hear the words cancer, every other piece of information just evaporated. Everything else seemed like a tide of white noise. A common initial response is to feel upset that the diagnosis took time. You may be blaming yourself for not bringing it to attention earlier or annoyed that your concerns were ignored for too long. But sometimes there is just relief that finally someone has found the problem, which can now be tackled. If being a cancer patient is challenging, being a family member or a close friend of a cancer patient can be just as challenging. What's more, it's a role that involves a great deal of internalization and silent worrying. You dearly want to help, but you're not sure how. Sometimes it feels right to respect a person's space, but other times you suspect that the patient wants to talk, but you have no idea how to broach a conversation. You are cautious not to upset feelings or make a bad situation worse with a careless remark. Reading this book, then, will not make you a medical expert on your illness, but I, the author, aspire to make you a more empowered patient. I hope to make you a patient who, no matter what the stage of your illness, feels prepared and knowledgeable, and is hence able to ask questions and make decisions wisely. Many people in your situation give up trying to understand their choices before they start because the road seems too hard. But I honestly believe that you will do yourself and your loved ones a favor by being informed. So although your head is spinning and there seems no end of things to think about, I urge you to sit down for a while and join me in making sense of what lies ahead. You are not alone. So opens A Cancer Companion, an oncologist's advice on diagnosis, treatment, and recovery by Ranjana Srivastava, MD. Perhaps you know someone battling cancer, or perhaps you find yourself fighting the diseases that we label cancer. Or in her opening chapter, Dr. Srivastava promises to speak to us, her readers, as though they are sitting in her office in a personal, open, respectful, and sometimes optimistic manner. And as promised, she does talk with us as a thoughtful adult peer, talking frankly and with sensitivity to both people fighting cancer and to those family and friends on the journey with them. Each chapter of The Cancer Companion begins with an anecdote from the doctor's career as an oncologist, where a patient, no real names are used, expresses confusion frequently, or anger, or self-denial when confronted with diagnosis or when offered treatment options. Srivastava doesn't sugarcoat the cancer diagnosis, but she doesn't overreact to her patients either. Indeed, she walks us through the process of understanding and then treating the disease. As she writes in her introduction, quote, "There are two kinds of challenges cancer patients face. One is tackling the day-to-day mechanics of having cancer, such as making chemotherapy choices, keeping your weight stable, or managing the side effects of treatment. It is understandably easy to become so absorbed by these issues that the big picture fades from attention. The big picture is about your aspirations, your goals of care in the context of the severity of your illness, knowing how to move forward as a survivor, and if indeed life is limited, how best to spend the remaining days. In my experience, for far too many people, the big picture comes into focus too late. I will confess here that part of this has to do with the way doctors communicate, with their emphasis too often being on the immediate problems a patient faces. To use a firefighting analogy, while putting out spot fires might work elsewhere in medicine, cancer management is different. How one extinguishes a cancer spot fire is greatly determined by having an idea of the conflagration." And so she accomplishes an understanding of cancer with a large number for such a reasonably slim book, of short chapters that begin with the diagnosis, move through the treatment options, and conclude with the possibility that a cancer fighter's lifetime after treatment for cancer may have a reasonably long life stretching ahead. Well, what causes cancer? Any number of reasons, she tells us, and very few, if any, of those causes or reasons can be predicted. So ought we to feel guilty for not being more vigilant about our health if we receive such a diagnosis? No. As she writes, quote, "One of the more poignant things to confront at the diagnosis is the guilt many patients feel for having developed cancer. You might find that you are blaming yourself or your loved one, Perhaps you are chastising yourself for not getting to the doctor earlier, for ignoring the nagging headache, for not having the blood test when it was due, or for willfully avoiding paying attention to symptoms that you knew all along spelled trouble. You are not alone. In fact, you are just like most of the rest of us, who want to stay as far away from doctors as possible and ignore things in the hope that they will go away. Often they do, but sometimes they don't. It is stressful and unhelpful to cast blame. You should remind yourself that many factors have aligned to cause your cancer. Don't waste your time on what has gone before. Instead, join me in feeling optimistic about learning how best to navigate the way ahead, end quote. Is the doctor too upbeat about fighting cancer sometimes? In the earlier chapters, this seems to be the case. Her interest in having her patients begin to cope or respond to their diagnosis by drawing up lists of things to do now that they know, for themselves and for those with whom they live and work, can seem a bit Pollyannish at first, or even at length. But as we continue the journey with Srivastava, we learn that indeed her goal is to make us an aware and caring person who is dealing with cancer, someone who takes it on and takes care of their own future. And so she takes us on a written journey that begins with finding an oncologist or a doctor whose work focuses on cancer, and on to treatment options, and there are many, and how to cope with the side effects. Over the course of 12 reasonably short chapters, she takes us through loss of appetite, loss of weight, the need for exercise, the stress of depression, and many other factors that come with cancer treatment. This is the 21st century, thank goodness, and our author's not afraid of, does not shy away from, topics that all of us, regardless of our health, must ask from time to time. She takes up the question of sex and sexuality with the cancer diagnosis. She asks and discusses the question, how do I stay positive? And why do people tell me to try to be upbeat when it is the last emotional state I want to find? A quirky chapter takes up the topic of, does my oncologist have emotions? Spoiler alert, yes, they do. Oncologists sometimes have cancer in their lives themselves. But two, they sometimes are not very good at sharing those emotions, kind of like, as she states, the rest of us. And finally, at the end of the book, A Cancer Companion, she takes up religion and spirituality. These two strong pillars of thought and experience for so many, she writes, can be important for people who discover they have cancer. In a brief but moving passage, she writes supportively of seeking solace and strength in these twin, very human endeavors. And she notes as well that those of us who question religious belief or find themselves best described as atheists can find strength in our own spiritual path as well. As she writes, quote, some people find familiar customs comforting when coping with difficult news and for nourishing hope in the longer term. For others, the sense of community and the practical consolation or answers that their religion provides is all important. Religious beliefs feature strongly in people's decisions about cancer as well as in coping with the dying process. Some people believe that religious or spiritual patients cope better with the dying process because their religion gives them an explanation. A spiritual person may experience less emotional distress because there is a framework for regarding death not as a personal failing, but a normal part of the cycle. If you do not have a strong faith or religious background, you are not alone in our diverse, multicultural society. Probably a good half of my patients do not specifically nominate seeking solace in religion. What seems a universal human need, however, is to feel connected. Even patients who are very ill and unable to socialize express the need to feel connected to their close friends and family. Having people care about their welfare and express concern for it allows patients to retain dignity. Therefore, I would strongly advocate that you build such connections in your life and encourage existing ones. This can be tricky if people equate connectedness with incessant physical and emotional interaction, because the truth is, when you are spending so much of your energy facing cancer, it isn't easy to nurture social relationships. But we are social beings, and a good anchor for many patients is human company. Don't worry, you will discover a level of engagement with others that suits you. In keeping with the theme of this book, I would encourage you to do what feels right for you, end quote. In the end, A Cancer Companion is a book of hope that we just read about death and dying there. It's a book of understanding. It's a book of encouragement. Its focus is on understanding what cancer and cancer treatment is about in this decade. And its author, and we presume reader, is interested in coping with this harsh diagnosis, so much so that some people fighting cancer may find the book too practical in its approach. If that's your take on cancer care, this book probably isn't for you. But I do think A Cancer Companion is a book you ought to know about, and if you are dealing with cancer or you know someone who is, it is a book that may open up some new windows and some new ways of thinking for you as well. Let's finish, as our author does, with this afterword. And as I said, while the book does take up the topic of death and dying, and indeed some unfortunately will do so from their cancer diagnosis, she also takes up the possibility that cancer can be conquered or at least managed, and that one can live a full life regardless of one's diagnosis. As she writes in her afterword, if you or someone close to you has suffered from cancer, I am sure that you have asked yourself more than once, why me? This is a question that troubles and even haunts many people. After all, many of us adopt regrettable habits at some point, including smoking and drinking excessively, and may face stresses of various kinds. On the other hand, you may have led an exemplary life, driven by a significant family history of cancer or your own belief in living well. But such people also develop cancer, so it seems unfair to blame everything on a particular habit or one source of stress. The fact is that cancer is not your fault. The fault is in your genes. What I'm saying is that if you are feeling betrayed by your body or questioning why cancer happened to you, take heart. In a life of random events, you have been unlucky. I don't think I meet anyone who is not shaken by a cancer diagnosis, but the people who can put it in perspective are the ones who cope better. They treat it as part of the large scheme of life that is not easy to understand and even harder to control. And then they focus on the practical aspects that they can control. So they try to be actively involved in decision-making, deciding when to take a holiday, when to give up toxic treatment, and how to spend their free time well. They strive to maintain some enjoyable interactions. I want to be absolutely clear that I am not suggesting these people never suffer angst, doubt, or dismay. Of course they do. But they work through these emotions, realizing the importance of maintaining a positive outlook on life. As you read this, you may be facing a new diagnosis in the midst of treatment and remission or contemplating terminal illness. You may be the beneficiary of modern advances and be a cancer survivor. All these phases of your cancer experience are associated with particular concerns. No matter what, I hope that in reading this book, you have discovered facts, practical advice, and consolation to help you navigate your experience. Remember that there is no single correct response to the many situations that will arise along the way, but there is a correct approach, and that is to be involved in your care, listen to your gut instinct, and make decisions that suit you. I am wishing you luck. A Cancer Companion, an Oncologist's Advice on Diagnosis, Treatment, and Recovery by Ranjana Srivastava, MD. It's a book that I think anyone who is fighting cancer or anyone who loves someone who is fighting cancer ought to give a look. It's a good read. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.